Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 16, the valued ministries of other believers and Paul's exemplary life and ministry. The Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary of church history. He was also an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who was sent by the Lord himself into the ministry of evangelizing primarily the Gentile world. It's thus easy for us ordinary Christians, if we want to call us ordinary, to be tempted to compare our ministry efforts with Paul's work and conclude that we fail to make as important a contribution in our works for the Lord as did Paul. But that's not how the Apostle Paul himself viewed the work of fellow committed Christians in his day. And this is one of those passages of Scripture. It's one of those that's often glossed over because it's just dealing basically with Paul sending his greetings regards to specific people, but the things that he mentions about these people is priceless, and it shows us the value of every Christian's work in the Lord. So I'd like to read the passage, and we'll look at Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of the Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which laboreth much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, Olympias, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss, which is much like our handshake today. The churches of Christ salute you. Okay, there's a long list of believers that Paul mentions here, and I just want to go through this. I think it's incredibly invaluable. Paul valued the ministry of Priscilla and Aquila, his fellow workers. They were also tent makers like Paul. Remember when Paul ran up and met them? Every Jew was given a trade by a father. He was traded in the area of the father. So wherever they went in the ancient world, they could always make a living for themselves because they had a trade. And Paul's trade, in which he was trained, was that of a tent maker, so often he would be making tents while he was preaching the gospel so that he wouldn't be a financial burden to others. But Priscilla and Aquila were Paul's fellow workers, not only as tent makers, but also servants of the Lord, and they risked their lives for his sake, and thus for the edification of all the Gentile churches. Now Paul added that all the Gentile churches were grateful to this couple, and as we should be as well, because when Paul wrote the epistle of Romans, this event, the laying down of their necks or risking their lives for Paul had already happened. And before that, you have the epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, if Paul wrote Hebrews. They were written actually after Priscilla and Aquila had risked their lives for Paul. So their brave act actually vastly enriched us and millions of other believers down through history. Can you imagine going through the Christian life without the books of Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews? Those are some of the backbone epistles of the church. But we as believers owe it to Priscilla and Aquila because they risked their lives for Paul. We don't know what the event was. We're not told any of the details. This is the only place in Scripture where it's mentioned. But these dear people risked their lives, a husband and wife team for Paul. Paul also valued his dear friend Epaphroditus for being the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Well, that would have greatly encouraged the apostle in view of his history of ministry in Asia. You'll remember when Paul first tried to minister in Asia, the Holy Spirit would not permit him to do so in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. They tried to work in Asia, they tried to work in Mysia, and finally they went down to the seacoast. The Holy Spirit was not allowing them to go in Asia. So later, near the end of his second missionary journey, Paul finally arrived at Ephesus, which is in Asia, in Acts 18, 18 to 22, and where he briefly ministered before leaving for a feast in Jerusalem. Apparently, Epaphras came to Christ at this time and was among those who encouraged Paul to return to Ephesus, where he had time to do a more extensive ministry there. And of course, at Ephesus, you remember there were miracles that were wrought by Paul. There were tremendous conversions to Christ, and they came and they burned their magic arts. And these magic arts, they were valued around, I think it's $2 million worth. So there's a tremendous change. And then, later, Timothy pastored the large church at Ephesus. In 1 Timothy 1:3, we know from ancient church history that the church at Ephesus became probably the replacement church for the church of Jerusalem when the church had to scatter from Jerusalem. Ephesus became the giant church. It was kind of like Moody Memorial Church, all right? It was the backbone church of Christendom. And so you owe it to people like Epaphras who encouraged Paul to come back. So he came back, and there was this tremendous ministry that developed, and this huge church grew as a result of that. Paul also valued a woman named Mary for her very hard work for the church at Rome. We don't know what Mary this was. We don't know who she was related to. All we know is that this dear lady was a hard worker. We've got ladies like that even in our church. They just work and work. And Mary was, she was a very hard worker. Paul valued Andronicus and Junius. These were relatives that he had who had suffered imprisonment for Christ along with Paul. And they were well known by the other apostles and were converts to Christ before Paul was. I can imagine these relatives, probably cousins, who knows, second cousins, they would have encouraged Paul because they had been Christians before he was. They had come to know the Lord, they believed in Christ, and they would have encouraged him as a newer convert. So he was very grateful for these relatives in the Lord. Also, Paul valued Ampliatus, whom he loved in the Lord. This brother's relationship to Paul would have been a great encouragement to him in the mid-trials he faced from his foes in the ministry. See, Paul had a lot of enemies, a lot of people always wanting to kill him. So anytime he ran into Christians that he was able to get close to, and there was this strong Christian love that developed between them, it would have been a tremendous shot in the arm and encouragement to him. Paul valued Urbanus for his fellow work for Christ and his dear friend Stachys for his encouraging supportiveness that would have also greatly encouraged Paul. Paul valued Apelles, who had been tested by trials in life and approved through them in the Lord Jesus. Paul valued Tryphena and Tryphosa. These were women who worked hard for the Lord. Paul valued Persis. This is a dear woman in Christ who had worked very hard for the Lord. I think it's remarkable. This may be the only passage in Scripture where Paul speaks of a woman. Now, Paul was not married, so he was single. But he speaks of this woman as a dear woman in Christ. She was apparently just a wonderful believer, a sweet woman, and she worked extremely hard for the Lord. And, of course, she would have been highly valued by all the saints because of her work. Often these women would do house chores, or they were taking care of the clothes, or sewing and doing things for people who were in need. Paul valued Rufus, a man chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who had been like a mother to Paul as well. It's amazing, nurturing and caring for his material needs of housing and food. Ladies, you all have this capacity to have a mothering instinct and a mothering action. And here's a lady who used her mothering tendencies that God had given her to nurture Paul. He would come in from having been out, maybe being shipwrecked and beaten. He had scars on his back, probably needed attention. His clothes were worn. So she would just say, look, you're going to go in there, you're going to take a bath, get cleaned up and everything, and then I'm going to feed you. You're skinny. You need to put some weight on your bones. And so she would just pamper him and build him up and encourage him in the Lord. She acted like a mother, and it was very encouraging to Paul to be treated this way by this lady in the Lord. Paul valued other believers whom he named, but those attributes or accomplishments he did not name, acknowledging them as valuable saints in the Lord. He does it in verse 10b, 11a and b, and 14 to 16, you've got Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, Philologus, Julia, Nereus, his sister, Olympus, the saints that are with them, salute one another on the holy kiss. The holy kiss that they would have was a kiss on either side of the cheek, like this, that you've seen them in the Middle East. It's much like our handshake today. We would say, give each other a good, you know, a good right hand of fellowship or something like that. So though Paul was the greatest missionary in church history and apostle to the Gentiles, he highly valued the lives and the ministry of other Christians who risked their lives for him and the edification of the churches, who encouraged him at key times in his life and ministry toward the great advance of Christ's kingdom, who worked hard for the Lord, who suffered with Paul in imprisonments as mutual supporters, who had deep, loving relationships with Paul for his edification and hence the advance of the discipline of others, who mothered him as a ministry of encouragement, who were invaluable for unnamed benefits of ministry to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in application, may we realize that there are no small or insignificant people in God's work, but that the entire universal body and the local body of Christ is interactive and interdependent by divine design for mutual edification. Francis Schaeffer once wrote a book before he passed away. He's a Christian, a strong Christian of the past generation. And I think the title of the book was No Little People. And he was talking about the people of God. There are no little people. They're all important. They are key factors. It's just like every part of the human body. You need it. There's a reason for it. They used to take appendix out thinking that, you know, it was just left over from, you know, they believed evolution and everything. Since then, they have found that if you can, you try to keep the appendix in, because the appendix is used to help the body deal with infection of various sorts. So tonsils, they took my tonsils out before they knew how valuable they were, okay? But nowadays, they try to keep tonsils in because they also work to help. So every part of the body, just like a human body, is important. So may we each then abound in God's assignments for us for the good of other believers. I ran into a lady today in our church, and since we're recording this for internet, for her privacy, I'm not going to mention her name. And she mentioned how that she had run into my daughter when my daughter was at the clinic where she had to go for her second test to see if the baby's heart was beating or whatnot. And so my daughter shared with her the results of the test. They found out for sure that the heart was not beating, and so they were going to have to take the baby. And this lady felt terrible about it, and she actually started to cry at the time. She said, Pastor, I cried all the rest of the day. And she said, I just felt so helpless, like I couldn't do anything to help, and I really felt bad. I said, wait a minute, you had a tremendous ministry. The Bible says in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Said, you were there, you were sent there, your husband was sent there with you. They were taking care of another relative. They had to go to the clinic, give her a shot or something. I said, you were sent there by the Lord to help bear Joanne's burdens. And of course, they had known my daughter. My daughter had actually babysit some of their babies when they were small. She and Connie used to help take care of them, so they go way back. And she hadn't realized that. I said, listen, you were assigned to help my daughter. The Lord sent you there to bear the burden and the pain that you felt, and you identified with it. And of course, my daughter could sense that. I said, that is a ministry. That is an important ministry. I know the lady who's in our church tonight who is testifying about her husband and the need, she could probably testify, and I'm keeping her name unmentioned simply because we're on the internet with this too, but she could probably testify of how many people within the body have encouraged and ministered over and over. And it's an important ministry. There are no little people. Everybody is important. And so we need to be encouraged at what we're doing. If the Lord calls you or lays it upon your heart to speak with an individual, to seek to encourage them or to seek to help in some particular way, or he calls you to have a specific ministry and relationship with the church, it's important. It's very important. It's not small. It's not insignificant. It really is something that is worthwhile. You look at Paul. Paul here freely admitted his life was actually spared by this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, so that he could actually finish writing pert near a third to half of the New Testament, for that matter. All these epistles, great epistles, the pastoral epistles that I use so heavily, all of those are written after his life had been spared by these people. So we should never view ourselves as insignificant or useless. Always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.